How can tabletop role-playing games help us learn about each other? Welcome to Gaining Advantage. Welcome to Gaining Advantage. We are using role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons to help you make lives better. We are featuring right now, if you're watching this before Christmas and before the end of the year, we have two holiday bundles that we are participating in with a bunch of other really talented role-playing game developers and publishers. First of all, there is, until Christmas, a $24 for $24 bundle. It has a whole bunch of different, it's got D&D, it's got just all different game systems connected with it, resources from all of them, only $24 for 24 different supplements and game systems and all kinds of things like that. So I encourage you to check that out. It's a huge savings if you over buying even a small number of them individually, and a great opportunity to experience some new games. Maybe something to try out over if you have breaks coming up or anything, getting together with family. This is a great time to do that and a great way to make that more fun. Also, if you specifically are looking for something for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, we are also participating in a bundle with that. It is 75% off the total of all the different resources that are there. And so we have an adventure in each one of those. And if you've already gotten that adventure from us, then you can still get the bundle, and then you save a little bit on the adventure that you already have, because you already have it, you don't get charged for it again. And so it's just a really great deal for you either way. And so this is just a great opportunity to cash in on some of those great end of the year deals. And also, speaking of end of the year and the holidays and gifts, if you are looking for some last minute gifts, we have them for you. You know, shipping, you try to ship something out now, chances are it is not going to get where you want it by whatever holidays are part of your celebrations, unless you get something electronic, all right? And so we've got a couple different resources for you. First of all, we have Wormworks Publishing gift cards at our store. You can pick those up in any denomination you want. We also have the Worms Workshop. And so if you're not familiar with that, this is an opportunity to work with our artists and developers to create a character, a monster, even like up to a city, all different kinds of resources. And then those resources will become canon in our campaign world. They will get published in a future book or other kind of resource like that, and you'll get credited for it. And so this is a great opportunity for if there's something that you really want your idea to be shared and put out there and published, or if you have, as a gift, to be able to give that experience to somebody else, and this is something that a lot of people enjoy, to say, I want you, whoever it is, my loved one, to be able to work with someone and have your idea created and put out there. And so this is just, it's a fun experience, and it's really kind of a once in a lifetime thing. And so I encourage you to take a look at that and see whether that is something that would work well for you, for somebody in your life that they would enjoy. And all those links are in the show notes. And so with all that, let's get on to our interview. So much of D&D is based on Western European mythology and culture. But what about the rest of the world? The more we learn about the rest of the world, the better we can make our D&D games. But what about D&D resources that help us learn about the world around us? Today, we welcome Rob Martin from Secret Garden Games to talk about a currently running Kickstarter to help you do that. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
What would you like us to know about you personally, specifically speaking to the tabletop role-playing game crowd?
Well, first of all, this is the first interview I've done since I got my job 24 years ago. So please excuse me if I'm not particularly savvy with answering questions while on camera. But other than that, I started playing Dungeons & Dragons in 1990, 91, something like that. And I've played every edition since then and a million other kinds of games. And over the pandemic, like so many of us, I started thinking about some other things that I wanted to spend my time doing. And my stimulus checks went straight to putting together the setting of Wake Song in Bukana.
Cool. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So the Wake Song is just kind of my umbrella term for the work we're doing. Hopefully it'll one day become a fully fleshed out setting, like, well, maybe not like Forgotten Realms, but you get the idea. Bukana, which means gateway in Tagalog, is the region of our world that is inspired by Philippines and Indonesia. And I've been, it might not surprise anybody looking that I am not actually Filipino, but luckily I found my unicorn in Carl Gaverza of phspirits.com, who goes out into the islands. He is Filipino, and he works to preserve indigenous languages. And while he's out there, he catalogs and interviews people for spirits, monsters, elves, dwarves, all kinds of creatures. He's got 2,500 plus cataloged. And so we thought it'd be a great idea to figure out which ones would be best to shoot a fireball at.
Of course.
Yeah. He's my unicorn, not just because he's a linguist and a Filipino mythologist, but he's also a dungeon master. He's been running games for years. And I got the chance. He came out to Jersey to meet to sit down with us, and just an amazing guy, and it's so good.
Cool. So you ran the Wake Song Kickstarter. What, it's been 2 years now, just about.
Yeah, about 2 years ago. Took a little while to get finished. Turns out I am making this up as I go along, like most adults. And don't tell the kids. but we had a lot of learning moments, especially when it came to graphic layout and whatnot. But we finally got that out, and we were able to show everybody just what Wake Song was. And give a little crunch to go with it, with the 12 subclasses and miscellaneous species for players.
Yeah, it's a really nice variety, and the art is just fantastic. I loved it,
and we didn't put many guardrails in that book particular on the different styles. So you got a really wide range from an almost comic booky cleric of the soul to just, I love the Mumbo Barong, the broodmother warlock. I love her so much. That's from Paper Cat, and luckily we got her to work on our next book too a little bit.
That's awesome. I just page through, look at the art, you know.
I'm glad you like it. We take the art really seriously, and we make sure that people of the real world cultures that's giving us so much inspiration are the ones that doing those illustrations, in addition to the consultations and all the extra help we have. And it just makes, I mean, it's a win-win-win situation. I mean, we get to make a book that has details that I won't even think to ask about. Like, I don't know what I don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but this is their culture. This is their story. And I'm just kind of giving it space. Hence the secret garden of the secret garden games. I just give them some room and some light and let them tell their story.
That's great. And, you know, and this is important. You know, it's important that we get these stories out there, right? There's so much richness, and you know, like I said at the beginning, this is like Greek and Norse is kind of all you ever hear and stuff. And it's just, it gets old. And there's just, when you look at the rest of the world, it's a completely different perspective. It's not just like, oh, well, we've got kind of the same thing, but with different names or something like that. But it's just,
completely different, completely different phylum of myth and whatnot. Like, look, we just had PAX Unplugged out here in Philly, where we had a booth to let people know about the Kickstarter. And a quote I kept coming to mind was, you know, if a few years ago, Americans rediscovered Krampus. And they think that he is such a delightfully menacing creature to add to the jolly time and all that. There are entire cultures where we got 50 Krampuses. You think Krampus is cool? Look at the Kumau in of the Philippines, man. He's going to get your kids too. And I'd rather Krampus get me if I was a kid. But I don't know. I know what the Kumau does. With a bootsock or a million other creatures that are just so delightfully nasty and lend themselves to folk horror.
It's not just I mean, like you've got all new creatures, all right, mm-hmm. That are just completely different perspectives, and so it can, not only does it provide just a new, a whole bunch more variety, because it comes from, if you're from Western European descent and Western culture and stuff, you sort of have your own mindset, and you don't even realize it, but no matter how creative you are, you still have borders on mm-hmm. your imagination.
Of course.
Because there are thought processes that have just, are just so completely different. And it's not that, and like, it's just because different parts of the world, different cultures, different lived experiences and stuff, you just have different ways of thinking. And, but when you're able to take those different processes and bring them together and listen to other people, it expands your view of the world. It expands your understanding of people. It helps you understand, you know, maybe like people that you disagree with about something like that. If you actually get to know them and get their perspective, you go, oh, well, maybe I agree with you now. Maybe I don't, but at least I know where you're coming from, you know, or whatever, you know. I mean, we live in such a divided world where everybody kind of likes to get their own ideas, and then they just sort of shut down, like, okay, this is my box now. And, but the more we can bring new perspectives in, just the broader our awareness of the world, of reality, you know, just looking at other ways of thinking and stuff, that to just expand our capacity to learn and imagine.
Yeah, I recognize that this was something I wanted to do, make role-playing games, and that I had I think found my calling is a bit over the top, but that I knew I was in the right place when I'm reading all of these about all these cultures and all these folkloric beliefs and mythologies. You know, first you start out on Wikipedia and then you start spreading, and I've got way too many books. I knew it when every time I woke up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see what I find now, and everything. Oh my God, this is so great. Oh, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. And I was just excited all the time learning these new things. And I felt gypped by our education system.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even know these things were around. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, the only thing I knew about the Philippines was that Imelda Marcos had like thousands of shoes. That's basically it. And then, you know, through the years, I as I met more and more Filipino Americans, all in nerd culture at game stores that I worked at or just hung out at, and I realized just how D&Dable, is that a word?
It is now.
There,
everyone knows what you mean. So,
yeah, it's like it lends itself to fantasy role playing so much. I mean, hell, I had to cut down on the number of elf ancestries and warlock subclasses that I was going to provide by myself to save something for the expansions.
And you know, I think it's important. I imagine there's a lot of people listening to this that look like us and are saying, okay, but you know, I'm nervous about playing this. I want to be respectful and stuff. And I've had so many, just like in the past couple of weeks, I've had so many conversations with people about that. We've had guests on before, that are people of color that say, hey, you know, there's, you know, yeah, you can play, these games that are rooted in other cultures and things like that. 'Cause that's how you learn. And of course be respectful and think about learning about people and avoid stereotypes and tropes and things like that.
And please don't use accents. No way it's not going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Please do not if you're playing a character inspired by a non-European. Like just don't. No matter how well intentioned you are.
Yeah. But then the other thing also is that these are fictional worlds.
Absolutely. And
so it's also important to recognize that while these are inspired by and draw from real world cultures, if I'm playing a character that is inspired by Greek mythology, because I'm not Greek and, right. We're always playing characters that are, outside who we are. And so we can still, learn and it's the difference of, are you taking something, you know, sort of that belongs to someone else and claiming it as yours, or are you, giving the credit where credit is due? And so I really appreciate, you know, the way that through all of your work that you are giving the credit where it's due. You are, you're amplifying the voices of the people that are the source of this information and not just claiming it as your own and stuff like that. So it's really cool. I love that, and it just opens up a whole nother world. Sort of literally.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. I hope I never come across as this being mine. You know, I'm just helping to put other people's pieces together. So to put it into the whole Wake Song setting, or to talk to them about how we can convert it into a mechanical effect. Certainly when we have to tread very carefully on a lot of these things, particularly when we're dealing with living belief systems. Mm-hmm. It's sort of easy to deal with something like ancient Egypt. While there are some neo-pagans that still pay homage to some of the Osirises and various other gods of the world, by and large, there's no active temples to Ra, in my knowledge, so you get a little more leeway. But when we're dealing with, the south of the Philippines is Islamic. And so how do we help show that aspect of Filipino identity these days? We're certainly not using Islam. You know, you don't avoid or you don't use living religions. And we have to tread carefully and not claim anything that isn't ours. But that doesn't mean we can't play in our fictional settings, as long as we do it with respect. I mean, I've played women before. I've played non-binary characters before. I can never get my head around playing an elf that gives a damn about being a boy or a girl. After the first couple hundred years, you're looking for something a little less confining.
I want to circle back to what you said about, so we were robbed in school. Because I've been listening to podcasts about interviewing people of color, talking about sort of Black history in the United States, and sort of all you hear about in public school is slavery and things related to that, and so it's Black history becomes what white people did to Black people, and so like we still make it about us. And, yeah, right. Yeah. And but like there's so much more, and there's all these amazing stories, and so there's thankfully there's movies like Hidden Figures and things like that where we could see some of these stories that that we just weren't taught in school, but we're talking about the whole world. I mean, there's so much history and there's so just amazing stories and cultures that we know from American public school. We just know nothing about them. And so this is a phenomenal teaching tool. To be able to sit down, with your kids or, with adults for that matter, that never learned all these things, and there's always more to learn. There's always more cultures and things that we don't have experience with or that we have very little. And so there's always more to learn about everything. And so just to have these opportunities to learn in a really fun way, it's when you're facing these things head on. You're going to remember it better.
Yeah, sure.
It's a fantastic teaching tool. My daughter was, she was getting ready. I was helping her put a character together for her D&D club at school. And so I was talking to her about the different spells she has and stuff like that and managing spell slots and things and describing the different abilities. And she's like, I can't wait to see the bad guys' faces when I nail them with this. You don't actually see him. No, you'll see him. You have a very vivid imagination. You will see them.
Yeah. So, to speak about this as a learning tool, it's been nothing but a learning tool for me putting it together. And so a lot of this learning about it's a monster here and there isn't going to teach you about a culture, but hopefully with our bestiary, we've done 2-page spreads we just did an update, I think earlier tonight, about the anatomy of our 2-page spread. And it gives you some insight as to what space these creatures take up in a fantasy world. And I think that you'll get, if I did it right, if we achieved our goals, then we've put a lot of reading in between the lines. Like you'll get an idea of cultures that might have vastly different ideas than we do about a lot of things. One of the first big philosophical hurdles I hit when we started working on Wukana was that of headhunting. And this was a prevalent, most cultures at some point in the past, including the Celts, dealt with the taking of heads as trophies. I know it's a bit gruesome. And our modern sensibilities will definitely have us vilify this act. But that's not what they were, that's not how they felt. That's not what they were thinking. And so we had to deal with, how do you not demonize and vilify these, to us, quote, barbaric practices with that. And luckily we have magic to help deal with things and that sort of thing. But when you see something in our book, like the Kumau I mentioned earlier, who helped collect blood for the blood trade, they tend to be bad guys. But you see kind of the space that these creatures take up in the culture and the mindset of the people whose folklore it is, right? And so I believe that if you read through the book, especially even just this monster book, before we even start talking a lot about culture and whatnot, you'll see these through lines and these ideas that we might not think of in our Western modern society on the other side of the world. And I hope that the most important thing you can learn from these isn't exactly what a Angitai is versus a Tikbalang, but that you just see that there's other perspectives in the world, that there's other ways of doing things, and they're no less right than the way you were raised or what you were taught to believe.
Awesome. That's so great. All right. You just rescued a genie from the hands of an Ifriti, and it offers you 3 wishes to achieve your goals to make the world better. What do you wish for?
So when I read these questions yesterday, this is the one question that I've spent most of my time thinking about. I'm like, I only get 3, huh? With all the problems, I get 3. I better get my best bang for the buck for each one. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's start with I would cure humanity of their hardwired aggressive tribalism. This idea that there's an us versus them, that we are right, and because you're not us, you must be wrong. That might give us some room to actually start having empathy for people that don't look like us, that don't sound like us, that don't have practices like us. My second wish, what was that? What's the ecological one? At first, I thought I would just undo the past century of industrialization and carbon emissions. But I realized then everybody would just take that as an excuse not to do anything anymore. Like, oh, that's been cured. So I boiled it down to, I wish our fossil fuel reserves were reduced to the point where we only had about 20 years left, and that would really spur our jump to renewables, and it would also get that carbon out of our hands because we can't be trusted with it.
Yeah,
right.
No, that you're dead on too, because when it came to the reason we're driving mostly gas powered cars instead of electric is because at the time, originally both were about equally available. And but petroleum was cheap and
quicker and cheaper.
Yep. So it came down to expediency, not like technology. So if it were all of a sudden more expensive and not readily available, yeah, we'd have to get creative real fast.
And this last one, I this one I struggled with a bit. I think I would wish that everyone were seen and heard. So no matter what side of any argument you're on, so much of the fear that leads to hate, I don't want to sound like Yoda, but
it's true.
It's true though, right?
Truth is truth.
comes from the fact that people are not, they don't feel like they're being seen. They don't feel like they're in control of their own destiny. And so whether you're somebody at an angry rally who thinks that somebody else is taking over your country and that you don't matter anymore, or whether you are a person of color who quite literally has not been seen and heard enough in this culture. So many problems come from people just not believing that anybody cares about them. And if everybody is seen and heard, then that means their concerns, their needs, their stories actually contribute to how we move forward as societies. Yeah, so everything's sure, you're seen and heard when you're rich, when you're a powerful company, when you're a white man in America, you're seen. Mm-hmm. And I just wish everybody had that.
Yeah. Yeah. To not only be able to, it's that if people could be loved and valued the way they deserve to be, and to know that they are.
Sure. You have to know, because I mean that's what's going to affect their actions. I mean, you could be getting hurt all you want. I talk to people. I work in agriculture, so I work in a very rural area, and so I hear people all the time who talk like they are not part of the considerations. Meanwhile, all I see is them being the only ones that are considered. You know. Middle-aged white men like this guy, they don't feel that they're being seen and heard, just because other people are also being seen and heard now. And it's not a zero-sum game. It's not if you get what you need, that means I'm not getting what I need. We're a rich and powerful country, and we have the means to. When I start talking about white privilege and my own and my privilege as a straight cis male in America, certain conversationalists start getting annoyed with me. They think like, "Oh, your life was easy just because you're a white man." No, but it wasn't as hard as it could have been. And it's not that I want to give up my privilege. I love my privilege. I just wish everybody had it.
Yeah, exactly.
We have the money, we have the bandwidth, we have the resources. Everybody could, at least in America, I mean, and hopefully beyond, we could all share the privilege of not having the extra headwind against our progress. Everybody could get the social lubricant that we that we glide through life on. Even when it's hard, we still have, you know, We still have people helping us.
Yeah.
Or at least not hindering us just because of the color of our skin or right. What chromosomes we have. Yeah.
What it comes down to is like, how many obstacles do you have in front of you, and how many of those are there just because of the nature of, you know, who you were born to or where you were born, or, you know, and things like that. Those obstacles you were born with. And
I've said that before. I've said that about people who are white supremacists or really hardcore nationalists. It's like, so your crowning achievement was just happening to be born where you were, that you peaked at birth. Okay. That's great. You didn't do anything to come to have your most prized identity.
That's great. All right. What one message would you like to give gamers who don't see much or any representation of their culture in role-playing games?
That's a tough one. I mean, it's getting better, but it's still glacially slow, and I feel a bit of it. I hope I don't come across as hypocritical being a white guy sitting here telling people of color what they should do because they're not seen. Yeah. But just just know that things are changing. People want to help things change. And hopefully the momentum builds to so that everybody can see themselves as a hero. I mean, that's why I named the Heroes of Wakesong book I did with those 12 subclasses, each from a different culture. I, if you never felt that because all the heroes looked like Superman and Batman and Cyclops, that if that ever led you to believe that maybe you know that's who heroes were, that's not exclusively who they are. Heroes look like you too. And more heroes are going to look like you.
All right. So what one message would you like to give gamers who want to learn more about other cultures through role-playing games?
Oh, I've been backing so many Kickstarters on things, whether it's... I really should have written these down. Look Hard out there. There is now African settings. There's a Korean setting that I backed up. That is fantastic. Sina Una is another Filipino inspired setting for 5e. I see that Paizo for Pathfinder does. I see a lot of some of the monsters I have penciled in for future books in other regions of Wakesong are already in Paizo. So they have Asuras and various kinds of djinn and all that. They already have scorpion people right out of Sumerian mythology. And so the stuff's out there. And I'm not a big Redditor, but I'm told that you can find a lot of, if you go looking, you'll find it. I mean, it certainly isn't as much as you need it to be or how much it should be. But I'd give those a look. And of course, ours. Stay tuned. Hopefully you'll see more representation as we expand out from Bukana.
All right. So what projects are you working on next after this?
So the monster book's the big one because, with having Carl as my co-author, it was an opportunity to do a monster book. I think moving forward, we're going to do significantly smaller books that have appeal for both GMs and players. I know monster books are generally a GM thing, even though there are playable species in that one. We're knocking a few things around. We're looking at a book that expands maritime, whether it's naval combat or ship-to-ship boarding actions. And then we use the background of expanding the archipelago out from the Filipino-Indonesia Bukana to islands a little further away, get into Polynesian territory and Malaysian territory, that sort of thing. I know we want to explore the Feywild and the Shadowfell, either together or separately in Bukana. There's a lot of Fey, a lot of monstrosities in Filipino and Indonesian myth. And hopefully when all said and done, we'll have enough of these smaller books that we can then combine the player resources into a player book, if that's the only thing you're interested in, and scenarios and monsters into other publications.
All right. So we'll have all your contact information in our show notes, but where is the one best place you'd like people to start to learn more about you or to contact you?
Well, right now for the next 2 weeks, I believe it ends at the end of December. Kickstarter for the Bukana Bestiary is the best place. But I prefer Instagram. Like you said earlier, I take my art seriously, my art. mm-hmm. mine because I ordered it. I take the art very seriously, and I love showing it off. I love it. The work that our illustrators do is fantastic. I mean, you see this Mark Coupon in behind us fighting a Garuda. Gladys Domaleon, I hope I didn't butcher her name, is so good. We have Brian Valeza of Magic the Gathering and Pathfinder and D&D fame. And he tends to do our covers. I love showing it off. I love showing it off. I'm so proud that I got to pay them to make something for everybody. Based on their culture, and I think they enjoy it too. If not, BSing me.
Awesome. Well, Rob, thanks so much for coming on the show. Everyone, check out those links in the show notes. And if you're watching or listening to this when the campaign is still going, definitely go check out that Kickstarter. It's really amazing.
Thanks a lot, Dale. Been a pleasure.
Bob, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really check out that Kickstarter. It's just so amazing. Meanwhile, and if you're catching this afterward, go check it out. Look for the links to get either the pre-order or to get it after the fact and see what's available now. A huge thank you to our patrons through our Patreon. Just really appreciate all of you. I want to thank you so much for your support throughout this year. It's been an amazing year, and we're going to be coming out soon with a list of all of the amazing things that you have accomplished with us this year. It's just, I'm astounded by it. And so I want to thank all of you for helping us make that happen. And if you are not a patron yet, I encourage you to check that out because it's just a tremendous opportunity. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Worms Workshop. This is actually a really great opportunity with our Patreon to get those credits for the Worms Workshop at a discounted price and also to donate some of those credits to others who can't afford it. Also, thanks to our patrons, speaking of donations, we add community copies to our store every month for those who can't afford our products. So if that's you, you can sign up for our weekly emails to get notified when they come available. And this month alone, we added $635 worth of free copies. And so there's plenty there. If you are looking for one or more of those titles, you can go to our store, look for community copies, and get what you need. They're there for you, thanks to our patrons. And so really appreciate that. Our patrons also get access to all of our content in a modular format that we call The Layer, all kinds of exclusive extras, including all the weekly adventures that we've been publishing lately. We are adding Foundry VTT access for all of our content. And higher tiers are going to have all kinds of added benefits. So check out the link in the show notes for more details and see where you fit in. We've even added a $2 tier that's a limited tier for those on very tight budgets that still gives you some access and just a chance for us to get to know you and for you to get to know us a little better. So if you see the show being helpful, please hit the like button. And if you would like to see more of this, please subscribe. If you know people that need to hear this, please pass it on to them. And if you, like me, think everyone needs to hear this, please pass it on to your social media friends. And don't forget those podcast ratings. Thank you, everyone, for an amazing year. Thanks for joining us to make lives better with D&D.